and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
It is absolutely wonderful to see you, but I do want to point out it's looking a little bit brighter in here and a little bit more fun because Ali Sapawanga's here today. Woohoo! Ali is born and bred a Horizon girl, but she's just having a short few years in New Zealand. No, her and her amazing husband, Toops, have set up in New Zealand. She's actually now on the staff of a church in New Zealand, and they are very, very blessed. I text Pastor Brad when I found out, like, what on earth? We love you so much. It's so good to have you. Before I get into the word today, I do want to talk to you about two things, and they've both been on Horizon News, but just in case you didn't notice, first of all, there is Gala Night coming up this Friday night. And I just love this night. It's been going for a number of years, but it really is a celebration of the tremendous impact of Horizon Youth. And it would not be an exaggeration to say they really are the most exciting and best youth movement, not only in the Shire, but Australia and beyond. And what this night is about is resourcing them. Yes, it is a celebration and a showcase, and you're going to have a really, really good time. We always do. It's that kind of night. But it really is to resource the ongoing work of Horizon Youth. And I have got no qualms in telling you, adult to adult, to buy a ticket. You really don't want to miss out on this opportunity. And we will be having our live and silent auctions. And it is the kind of thing that you will bring your friends to and be super proud that this is all in-house. It's actually very hard to believe that the entire showcase that you're going to be going to see and be wowed by is all in-house talent. It is really amazing. It's a fun night. You get to dress up. So can I encourage you, if you haven't purchased your ticket, you can do that today. And it all goes to the work of Horizon Youth, which is really literally changing hundreds of lives every single week. The other thing I want to talk to you about is if you are a parent or you are looking to be a parent in the near future, we have this afternoon, she's a doctor actually, Dr. Patricia Wirakoon will be coming and doing a free parenting seminar at 4 o'clock today in the basement. Now, Patricia Wirakoon is absolutely a world-class leading specialist in this area of healthy sexuality, and it's a really interesting season chapter in our globe at the moment. And if you're raising children, it's actually quite daunting given the imagery that's coming at them, the sexualization of a lot of our advertising and media, really unscientific notions of sexuality that really many specialists are saying this is just not scientific, that what's being put out there. Patricia is unique in that, yes, she holds a Christian worldview, but she is actually a scientist. She's actually somebody who has studied. She's an academic. And she was actually at the University of Sydney. She's an honorary fellow, so she actually has officially retired, but she's a very active academic still. She's widely published in journals all around the world, but she's actually incredibly relatable as well. If I was a parent, I am, and I'm going to be there. if you're planning to be in the near future, can I encourage you, please avail yourself of this opportunity. They don't come around very often to hear a world specialist on an area that will actually equip you and help you to be good at what is a very difficult thing to be good at these days. And so 4 o'clock in the basement, and then there'll be a short break. So we'll finish at 5:30. You can go and get a coffee or a quick bite or something, and then back in for the evening service at 6 o'clock, and she will be talking all things sex. And yes, you're allowed to do that in church, and she'll be bringing to bear her knowledge of this field. This field is her specialty, and she'll be actually presenting some things that will blow your mind and equip you to have a really healthy view. I would say that we do have a really fantastic kids program, so put your kids in the kids program. She's godly and she's tasteful, but she is quite explicit. If you have teenagers, we'll allow you to use your discretion there. So please, they're hearing a lot of this stuff anyway, can I just say? They're seeing it on social media, they're reading about it, it's on TV. There is nothing that she's going to say that they may not be exposed to yet. However, it is for the discretion of every parent, and we do have a program for our teens out in the foyer that will be fun and engaging if you just feel a little uncomfortable that it may just be a little advanced for where they're at. So we'll leave that as a PG. She will be speaking PG tonight, okay? Not G, PG, which would be quite exciting and fun. And it's going to, bring your friends, seriously. When do you hear this stuff talked about? honestly, just be an opportunist and get in on it, because it's just not a common occurrence. I do want to get into the Word today. And Pastor Brad has been preaching on this series, The Miracles of Jesus. Who's enjoyed it? It's been amazing, hasn't it? And we started out in that first week with the 10 lepers, or the 10 leopards, as he has shared with us. And it was about the fact that thankfulness has a power to it, that 10 got healed, one came back. Let's be the one leper, because we are all that leper. And then he talked to us about the healing of a woman on the way to another miracle, and the fact that your miracle is in motion. Don't be discouraged by somebody else receiving from God what you're believing for. Maybe God has orchestrated this in time and place to build your faith to receive your miracle. And so if you haven't heard both of those messages, great podcasts available. Jared Batson is a phenomena in our church. Jared Batson, wherever you are amazing. We love you. He's refreshed all the beautiful screens you saw up before. Like, honestly, he's always tweaking stuff, spinning the wheels, and he's refreshed our podcast. They look beautiful. So please avail yourself of those. This morning, I want to speak about a miracle that takes place in one of the most, it is actually the most pressurized, chaotic night of Jesus's life. It's the most stressful time, to the point of physical breakdown almost. It's basically, friends have betrayed him. His own could not even sit up and pray for him. I mean, on that night, they could not even make it through the night to stand with him as he's sweating droplets like blood. They couldn't stay to support him. The weight and strain of carrying the cosmic purposes of God in the salvation of humanity was deeply upon him. And it is an incredibly heavy night carrying those things to get to the joy that was set before him. He had to first endure, and this night really was a night of endurance. And maybe you have been through an incredibly stressful time and you have questions for God. I want you to know, if you are here today and if you are in a pressurized time and your circumstances seem insurmountable, your Savior relates to where you're at. He knows what it's like to carry stress and turmoil and heaviness, and he carried it to the extreme. And it's in the midst of this maelstrom, in the midst of this storm, that Jesus performs what I think is a very unlikely miracle. And so let's read together Luke 22, 47 to 53. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas was one of the 12, who was one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And then those who were around him saw what would follow. They said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." I want to tell you this morning, speak this morning to an incident that is recorded in all four Gospels, so we know it's important. It was Only one of the Gospels tells the identity of the people involved, and that's Peter and Malchus, and that's recorded in John. We're reading from Luke today. And only one Gospel relays the miraculous healing, and that's Luke. Luke's a doctor, and maybe he's more drawn to these things. And it's baffling to me that the last miracle that Jesus performs on the cross, before he goes to the cross, is something so seemingly insignificant. Humanly speaking, if I wanted to make my last splash on the theatre of my life, I'd probably feed 6,000 people to top the 5,000 that I'd healed before. If I wanted to make a splash, maybe I would have healed a colony of lepers, not just 10. Maybe if I just wanted to make that last splash on the theatre of my life, I would have raised a whole cemetery, not just raised Lazarus. Alternatively, I might have had a night off because, you know, betrayal, sweating of blood, your friends not staying up with you in your darkest hour, I might have just considered that it's a really good opportunity to maybe take a break from doing good, healing the sick, declaring freedom for the captives and declaring the acceptable year of the Lord's favour. I might have just taken a night off. And yet Jesus works this unexpected miracle in the darkest night of his life. Unexpected, I say, because Malchus, the guy who he healed, John tells us the name, not Luke, is a servant or a slave of the high priest. We don't have language in the English. We go for servant, but really it's slave of the high priest, sent to arrest Jesus. And in this scuffle where his own completely and utterly understand how Jesus would actually bring about the kingdom, they start to get political and violent about it, Malchus loses an ear. And it's really interesting. I won't go into it today, but the Bible's very clear it was his right ear, and usually that was the ear that a slave, a bond slave, would bear the mark of their master on. And Peter actually wasn't going for an ear. He was going for a life. He was actually going to take Malchus out. And in the midst of this, we see a divine intervention in the life of a human being. We see in the moment of extreme darkness, not just a little bit of stress and pressure and Malchus has come, but in extreme darkness in the garden, we see a moment of love intervention. In the middle of an armed and dangerous crowd that were threatening life, not just Jesus' life, but those of his followers, there was a love intervention where he was surrounded by his enemies, where he had all the power of heaven to take them out completely. He chooses to apply his divine power to one very insignificant slave. And Jesus intervenes on that dark, dark night. And it shows us in that one moment his willingness to go to the cross. He was not forced. He still had heaven's power in him. It's a total rejection of worldly methods of achieving the purposes of God. He's putting swords and shields away and employing healing power and restoration. And it shows his heart for everyone, because Malchus was actually the most unlikely in that crowd that night. His heart for everyone. 2 Peter 3:9 says he's not willing for any to perish, but that all would come to salvation. Do you know, God's passionate intervention in a human life never, ever ceases to amaze me. Every single week in Horizon Church, and maybe outside of these walls with people connected to Horizon Church people, God intervenes. And I never stop hearing stories about how someone was just moved for some particular reason they can't identify to be in a service, and the Holy Ghost just smashes them and brings them to him. You know, I hear stories of how in a life group, someone just came along with their friend and they came to know Jesus Christ just in that warm, inviting and belonging context of a life group. I hear stories of miraculous and divine interventions where Horizon Church people may just be out shopping and they come to witness to a checkout person. It just never ceases to amaze me. But on one level, it doesn't surprise me, because Jesus can't help himself. Jesus can't help himself but to intervene in the life of a human being. And it's really intriguing that we, in one sense, have a hierarchy of importance and significance in our head, but Jesus is actually no respecter of a person. He touches the wealthy and the working class. He intervenes in the lives of men and women. He intervenes in the lives of children and adults. He comes to the ones that oppose him. He comes to the ones that cry out. He comes to the ones where parents are praying for them, so he steps in. He comes to the ones that are least likely in our eyes for an encounter with God. And yet he intervenes, encountering them with his love. And in this case, he comes to the unlikely. In that garden of pain and chaos with the knives out, where even his own disciples are losing it absolutely royally, he steps in, he cleans up the mess, and he reaches out to heal the enemy. He reaches out to heal the enemy. And the last miracle that Jesus performs before he makes it to the cross says something loud and clear about his first priority. Can I just say, as a church, I believe, and in fact I declare, that God is elevating his first priority afresh in our lives. God is elevating his first priority of the salvation of human souls to be our first priority. I believe that God is on the move to bring about an intervention in the lives of human beings at an epic scale, not just a small one, ones that you've been praying for, ones that will cross your path, ones that you once knew, and God is going to bring them in again. I believe it. And I believe that there is an invitation being held out to us, asking us, will you join the great adventure of seeing God intervene on this kind of scale in the lives of broken humanity? And when I look at this final miracle, this seemingly insignificant one that doesn't rival in numbers or power anything that he's done previously, it doesn't leave a splash in human terms on the theatre of his life. It was an opt-out from a night off. What is God showing us from this last miracle, this last encounter with a human being, miraculous encounter, before he endured the cross for the joy set before him? I believe God is showing us some things this morning as a church through this miracle. And the first one is, we are all Malchus. We are all Malchus. I have an interesting dynamic in my home that I hope doesn't remain for too much longer, and that is that my eldest son likes to speak through my youngest son. Let me give you some examples. Mummy, Harry wants to watch Play School when we get home. Actually, Harry wants some chippies too. Harry doesn't want to play the guitar, even though he's holding it. He wants me to play the guitar. Harry doesn't want cauliflower for dinner. He wants chocolate ice cream. It's as if Harry's intentions are decided by Ollie and he is remote controlling him like a boss baby to have his will exacted on the household. It is a funny sight to behold, and we will discipline him out of it. No. Can I just say, parents, that you can guide them and put guardrails on them, but there are certain propensities that you won't change in them because that is the way the bow is bent by God. So time will tell. Oh, poor Harry. He gets his own back. Malchus the slave, the one who was maimed by Peter, is what in the original language is called a doulos. He's a bond slave. He's someone who has been bonded to a master to fulfill a master's purpose and to actually cease to exist for his own purposes. A bond slave will do the will of the master because they have no rights, no ownership, no genealogy, so there was no concept of lineage and children and future and heritage for a bondslave. You exist to serve the purposes of your master. No personhood. And not only is he the bondslave of just anybody, just any wealthy man, but he is the bondslave of the high priest Caiaphas. He's actually bonded to a man who should know the truth of God, who should know how to shed light on the path, that should know how to actually bring freedom into the life of this slave from a deep soul level. And yet Malchus is caught up in this chaotic moment in the garden, not because he wants to necessarily be in that moment. He's there because he's someone's slave. And Malchus, in the service of the high priest, enslaved to him, is confronted in that moment with the high priest, Jesus Christ. He is confronted in that moment with the healing power of Jesus Christ. And can I say this morning, church, this is our story. This is your story. We were slaves. He found us wherever you were in life, in the service of another master. We were opposed to him, consciously or unconsciously. Your mind was bent on a trajectory that was not his. And God, through Jesus, purchased us from the bondage of sin to whom we were slaves and brought us into his own household. Never, ever be mistaken from where you came from. Romans 17 says, you used to be slaves to sin. You had no will of your own. You think you did. But you were under the power of another master. Colossians 1:21-22 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you to Christ, physical body, through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Jesus reached into our brokenness, our separation, our illness and our woundedness. He noticed us. He saw you in a crowd. He found us. We may have been caught up in a life of sin. We may have actually just been obscure and unnoticed. We may have been blissfully unaware of the danger our soul was in, but he rescued you. He healed you. He staged an intervention in your life. And he reached you. And in the miracle on the way to the cross, he reached his hand of healing toward you. Never forget you were Malchus. Never forget you were Malchus. And not only that, we all know Malchus. Second thought, we all know Malchus. Some time ago, the weather started turning warm. And who knows, when that first hint of summer comes, where do you go? The beach. And so I called Andrew up on the way home from work and said, why don't you meet me at the beach? Let's have fish and chips with the kids. It may have only been 15 degrees, but it felt like summer to us. And so we met down the beach and we're sitting there eating our fish and chips with our kids and our Ollies in this stage where everything is just wonder. He's like, this is amazing. Like, why aren't we doing this every single night? And Andrew looks up and in the distance he can see two girls sitting just on the grass. And he goes, I think that's Alyssa and Jess. And I'm looking and I'm like, He goes, no, it is. And I'm like, I don't think so. He goes, no, really, I'm pretty sure it is. And I'm like, nah, look, it's not, but I can totally see how you think that. And then 5 minutes later, Alyssa and Jess, who were doing their dutiful run on Cronulla Beach, ran past her. Hey, Pastor Christy. And it just shocked me that I love Alyssa dearly and work with her weekly, and Jess is just an absolute star and love her as well. And I did not even recognize them. I was completely blind to two girls I see on a weekly, sometimes daily basis. Leading up to the night in the garden, it's Passover. And so early in the chapter, in Luke 22, Jesus is in, he knows what's coming that night. And he's breaking bread and giving wine and making incredible statements of his intent, saying, this is the last I will eat before I suffer. And he's saying, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood given for you. This is the body and bloody of the body and blood of the new covenant for you. He is making probably some of the most profound and all-encompassing statements of his entire ministry. And yet, literally, two scriptures later, not even, verse 24, they're fighting and disputing and disagreeing between themselves, the disciples, about who is the greatest, who has the greatest call of God upon their life, who will be the greatest in the kingdom, who's the most awesome, whose power gift is the most profound. Discussions about power, arguments about who's the greatest, weird ideas about taking up weapons to bring about the kingdom of God, and a failure to completely understand the purposes and the priority of Jesus in that moment. It is, we are thousands of years removed from those words, and yet I am not so sure that if we were in that room, we wouldn't be doing the same as those disciples, hearing the Messiah of the world with whom they'd walked for 3 years, and missing the point and priority completely. Yeah. It's so interesting. Jesus was completely disturbed by their blindness, by the way. And he says in both Luke 22 and 38 and 22 and 51, and I think they're polite, angry words, that is enough. No more of this. Because all this talk of selfish ambition, of power, of personal gain was blinding them to the purposes of that night. It was blinding them to souls. It was blinding them to Malchus. It was blinding them to the One. And it drove the disciples that night into a mode of living in that moment that was political, defensive, ambitious, and violent. And you can't afford to be blind when Malchus needs an encounter. You can't afford to be blind when Malchus needs to encounter the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, Malchus lives in your street. Malchus, he's in your workplace. Malchus is in your family. And in fact, he's probably even the father of some of the children that go to your school, your kids' school. You know, when you don't understand the purposes of God, his love and intervention that took Jesus willingly to the cross, you will lose sight of Malchus. If you don't understand what makes the heart of the Father beat for lost souls, you will actually miss the One that he died for. Instead of seeing Malchus as in the heart of God, you'll see him as an enemy. Or you won't actually see him at all, sadly. The slave of another master in desperate need of an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, no more sword talk. No more sword talk. No more bravado. No more mixing up of the priorities. Malchus needs to know what you know. Malchus needs to encounter the love and the power of Jesus Christ that rescued you when you were just like him. Because you were Malchus. Never forget, you were Malchus. Finally, if there is Malchus out there, and he is, he's in your world today, or she is in your world today, do you know you actually have the power to reach Malchus? Do you know in you there is the divine power of God? Because reaching and intervening in the life of a human being is not flesh and blood. It is not swords and spears. It is the power of Almighty God encountering a human being. Jesus, in the heat and the pressure of a moment where he would understandably be preoccupied, He would understandably have his mind on other things. Maybe you and I in that same circumstance may not have even had the presence of mind to see what was actually going on. But under heat and pressure, what was in him was revealed, and he responded almost reflexively with a healing miracle in the moment of his greatest torment. You know, the Spirit of God in you, if you know Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God residing in you. The Spirit of God is not distant from you, it's not separate from you, but the minute that you come to know Jesus Christ, your spirit is alive to him, and he comes to dwell with you. And I have found, as a follower of Jesus Christ, having his spirit in me, he can't help but intervene in the life of humanity. He can't help it. I might have other ideas, but Jesus actually can't help prompting me and drawing me to be his hands and feet, to intervene in the lives of others. Some time ago, Larissa, who's our prayer pastor here at Horizon Church, and I, in our single year, so it was quite some time ago, over 6 or 7 years ago, and at one gala night, I believe, Larissa had won a gift certificate to have breakfast at a cafe. And we went along together. She didn't have the gorgeous Lorenzo to take, so she took me. Good company. And we're just having the best time at breakfast, you know, eating, laughing our heads off. We had the best single years. It was just awesome. And we're eating away, and I just noticed a couple next to us. And we were just chatting away, and I could not shake out of my mind's eye this couple. And I felt drawn to them. And Larissa and I just started talking with them. And it had become apparent that this couple had just lost an adult child in a military accident. They'd lost a child that had been serving. And through a terribly tragic set of circumstances, this person had lost their life. And that couple were there in that location on that day to organize a funeral, to clean out an apartment, and to say goodbye to someone that they'd lost so tragically, so instantly. And I would love to tell you on that day we led them to Jesus Christ, but what we did do was actually share the love of God, and their tears pouring down, and we prayed with them then and there at that cafe in one of our local areas. And it just amazed me. I could not but intervene, not because of me. I was having a good old time. But it was an intervention. The love of God can't help himself. In the midst of their circumstances, in the midst of their extreme pain and irreconcilable tragedy, God, the love of God intervened. Just recently, as I was waiting at a hotel lobby, right at the end of a trip, to Papua New Guinea. The work was over. We were horsing around in that foyer, all very legitimately. But the work was done and we were in party mode. We just had a night swimming in the pool, having a great dinner, lots to celebrate, testimonies to share, laughs to have. I think I sat up for half the night with Mona Hannah and we had the best time. We ended up sharing a room. She's the best roomie out. No one's taking her if we ever travel together. She's amazing. But in that lobby, just as we're about to get in a shuttle bus and go down to the airport, God prompted me to a concierge in that foyer. And I just struck up a conversation. And just out of nowhere, it became very, very apparent that he was seeking spiritual reality. He's seeking to feel and experience God. He believed our God existed. And he was trying in all sorts of ways to connect with that God. He was from India. He had tried a myriad of ways. But he deeply longed for God. And right then and there in that hotel foyer in Port Moresby, God staged an intervention moments before we flew out. And he asked that I could pray for him. And he experienced the presence of God. He told me, I feel God's presence here as you're praying. It was an intervention. God cannot help but intervene in the life of lost and broken and wounded humanity. Maybe you're here this morning and you are saying, I identify with Malchus. You may not be a slave. You may not be in a circumstance that's anywhere near that. But maybe, just maybe this morning, there's a missing piece in your life and you have tried to fill that piece with all sorts of stuff. And perhaps I even sense you feel enslaved to those things. Maybe you're working this workload to try and support a mortgage that you thought would satisfy you, but you've become enslaved to it. Maybe you are enslaved to the opinions of other people, but what you're longing for is for that missing piece to be filled. Can I just say to you this morning, there is nothing but the love of God toward you. There is nothing but the heart of a loving Father toward you. Do you know, God brought you here today, I believe, to stage an intervention for you, to say, I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm calling you to me. I'm gonna take you in. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to bring healing to your life, just like I did for Malchus. It's like a reflex action. He actually can't help himself. He loves you that much. He sees you in a crowd. So right at this point, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads, not because we like the church ceremony, but because these decisions about the soul are a private moment. They're lived out in public, but they're decided in the privacy of our own heart. And I can't decide that for you any more than mothers can decide it for children, or fathers can decide it for children, or friends can decide it for friends. Every human being has to decide, will I accept the love and encounter of Jesus Christ? And with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to pray a prayer.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.